Well, praise the Lord. It's so good to be in his house today. If you have your Bibles, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. First Corinthians 9, we begin at verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. That is, win. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate, exercises self-control in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Striving. Now reading from the J.B. Phillips New Testament, do you not remember how on a racing track every competitor runs, but only one wins the prize? Well, you ought to run with your minds fixed on winning the prize. Every competitor in athletic events goes into serious training. Athletes will take tremendous pains for a fading crown of leaves. But our contest is for an eternal crown that will never fade. I run. I run the race then with determination. I am no shadow boxer. I really fight. I am my body's sternest master, for fear that when I have preached to others, I should myself be disqualified. Set purpose. A race, athletics, a fight. The call and commission, run, train in this manner, fight in this manner. Now, there is no doubt that there is a contest. This day, there is a fight, and the fight is fixed, and the fight is real, a contest in the earth. A contest on this side of heaven. And we are not fighting mere shadows. This imagery. And the Apostle Paul is using the analogy, the imagery, for our purposes today, of boxing. A boxer. A fighter. A prize fighter. Up against an opponent, a foe, an enemy, an adversary, a rival, a challenger. One thing is for sure, the opponents that stand against us in the ring are there for a knockout. They want to put us on the canvas. Christian, the ring is calling, and every one of us will face opponents. Rather not step in the ring? How else are we going to silence the opponents? How else are we going to advance? How else are we going to realize victory? How else are we going to obtain the prize? You see, the Apostle Paul knew the Christian reality of life surrendered to Jesus, life delivered to Jesus. Jesus is not an add-on. Life surrendered and delivered to be trained and to be hardened and to be conditioned, to be equipped and readied. that one might become a champion. Champions train hard. Such discipline, such determination, such commitment, high-level devotion, high-level. Strict diet, strict routine, pressing through pain, pressing through adversity. You know, the Lord would endeavor to make a prize fighter, a champion out of every son and every daughter. A champion, a victor, a title holder. You know, Paul felt this. Paul knew what the Lord wanted. And Paul knew that he would have to give himself to the trainer and to the training. A trainer can be the best, but unless the fighter is hungry, the trainer can make champions, but the boxer has to be hungry. The boxer must give themselves to the plan. They have to run. The trainer can't run for them. The boxer has to jump rope. We're talking about weights and core work, plyometrics, agility ladders. The boxer has their pad work. The boxer has their speed bag and their heavy bag. Strength and conditioning. Sparring. Listen to these words, the Amplified Bible. I do not flail around like one beating the air, just shadow boxing. The Amplified Classic, I do not box like one beating the air and striking without an adversary. Boxers shadow box, but not when the fight is on. And this, just an element, there has to be more, must be more. Full scope, the training, and so forth. And we know that when the bell is rung and we're in the ring, it isn't imaginary. This is no simulation. We are not fighting shadows. This is no time for mirrors. Shadow boxing. Shadow boxing is crucial for a fighter to warm up and perfect techniques in the mirror. When you shadow box, you watch yourself in the mirror as you refine your punches and kicks. Shadow boxing is also a tool that fighters use to simulate a fight with an imaginary opponent and warm up. To box with an imaginary opponent, especially, is a form of training. Listen, it has its place. But if this be all, and this be in the ring, is this why so many miss the mark? Flailing around, shadow boxing, beating at the air, looking at self, watching self. What a focus now. Coach us, Paul. The EXP translation, I fight like a boxer who is hitting something, not just the air. The Good News translation, I am like a boxer who does not waste his punches. The Living Bible, I'm not just a shadow boxer. I'm not just shadow boxing or playing around. A true fighter steps into the ring to win. Not just in it for a few rounds. They don't slide through the ropes and take to the canvas without purpose and goal. They not only want to go the distance, they seek to deliver a knockout. To knock out, to make unconscious, to defeat. The termination of a boxing match when one boxer has been knocked down and is unable to rise and resume boxing within a specified time. The words of one boxer, he said, "Every time I step into the ring, I'm looking for a knockout. I'm there to make a statement." There is no doubt that Paul was this type of boxer, and he knew what it would take. He knew what it takes to be a champion prize fighter. The Amplified Bible reads, "I do not flail around like one beating the air, just shadow boxing, but like a boxer, I strictly discipline my body. I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave." Note the language. The Amplified Classic, "I do not box like one beating the air and striking without an adversary, but like a boxer, I buffet my body, handle it roughly, discipline it by hardships, and subdue it." Opponents and challengers, like principalities and powers, Ephesians 6:12, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness," this darkness of this age, "against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Principalities and powers. But what about flesh and blood? Again, reading from the Amplified Bible, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the rulers and against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places." From the classic version, "For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood," that is, contending only with physical opponents, though we do. My, we do. "But against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere." In this life, as a believer, as a Christian, as a follower, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we are going to face opponents. Challengers and challenges. But how about our own flesh? Romans 6:19, "I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness." Literally, unto sanctification. Galatians 5:17, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish." James 4:1, "Where do wars," that is, battles and fights, "come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members?" 1 Peter 2:11, "Beloved, I beg you." This language, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Paul knew. And the text speaks clearly today. Romans 7, beginning at verse 15, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. And now if I do what I will not to do, we just move down a little, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find that a law, that evil is present with me. The one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The world system and a corrupt culture. Romans 12, 1 to 2, I beseech, that is, urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable, literally your rational service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. J.B. Phillips, New Testament, with eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, my sisters, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you, and you know the world around us is trying, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. And just to finish it off, we're going to read from the Message paraphrase. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. My, we need quick response. Alive and active in our world and in our life. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Opponents, challengers, and challenges, and what of these? In the ring, with addiction, and beating the air? In the ring with apathy, indifference, lethargy, pride. In the ring with a stingy spirit. In the ring with lust. In the ring with unrighteous anger. In the ring with unholy thoughts. In the ring with disunity. In the ring with distraction, deception, dissension. In the ring with rogue doctrine, household compromise, and infection. Would not a little hell in the home that heaven come? Listen, God will help us. God will help us. God will help you. And you will knock out this opponent, but you cannot be in the ring. You cannot be in that ring beating the air. You cannot be shadow boxing. You cannot be focusing on self. You can't be looking in the mirror. You need to see your opponent, square up your opponent, and you have to strike. No uncertainty, no hesitation. Otherwise, you'll be their prize. You'll be the prize. You may survive a few rounds taking hits, but there will be a knockout blow that hits you. Are you in the house of the Lord today and you're preparing to take on an opponent? Or to take on an opponent on behalf of another? You know, in some cases we can. Church, it's going to take discipline. It's going to take submitting. Submitting your body and submission. I know that there are very real fights going on. No exhibition match. We're not fighting the air. Are we serious? No uncertainty. We're talking about determination. We have to stop beating the air. We must hit the mark. Beating the air. Or really hitting the mark. If change is desired, if victory is desired, we have to stop beating the air. This will never produce a knockout. You know, there was something else at stake here. And Paul clearly lays it out. The New King James Version, "Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection." The Phillips New Testament, "I am no shadow boxer, I really fight. I am my body's sternest master." It's what we need to master the body and sternly. Why? Well, let's finish it off. The New King James Version, "Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Paul? Apostle? You? Phillips New Testament, "I am no shadow boxer, I really fight. I am my body's sternest master, for fear that when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified." You're saying, "I'm so thankful I'm not a preacher." But it's going way deeper. We preach with our lives. We are all gospel ministers. We preach in our families. We preach in our homes. We're preaching before our children. We're preaching with our conduct. We're always preaching. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're His light in this world. Every place the sole of our foot treads, we're preaching. Disqualified. The Amplified Classic, "I do not box like one beating the air and striking without an adversary. Like a boxer, I buffet my body, handle it roughly, discipline it by hardships, and subdue it for fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ and things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, be unapproved and rejected as a counterfeit." This is the Apostle Paul. The King James Version, "So I fight, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away." Literally, what's being said here is not standing the test, not approved. That which does not prove itself such as it ought, unfit for, unapproved, spurious, fake, or false, reprobate, rejected, by implication, worthless. Castaway. Cast away. I share the words of Charles Spurgeon. 1 Corinthians 9:26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I not as one that beateth the air. He would not leave a stone unturned, as it were, that he might gain the prize. He put out all his strength in the name of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body. You see, some are kept under their body. He's saying, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. The Greek word, according to some, implies getting his body into the same position as a man does when in a pugilistic encounter, he gets his adversary's head under his arm and smites him with all his might. So Paul says concerning his body, I bring it into subjection and take care that it feels the full force of my will. According to other interpreters, the verse may be read, I drag my body off as a slave. Just as in some of those ancient fights, the victors dragged away their antagonists as slaves. Paul accounted his body to be a slave to his soul and dragged it behind him in chains. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. Incredible imagery. Incredible image. The Greek word, which is translated a castaway, a dokimos, it might better have been rendered disapproved. It certainly has no such meaning as that which has been generally given to it. Paul was not afraid of being cast away by God at the last. What he aimed at was this. As he had entered the lists as a Christian minister, to fight for Christ, to wrestle against principalities and powers, to seek to win souls for Christ, he must keep his bodily powers and passions so in subjection that at the last, when the prizes were distributed, he would be found to have won his. This is quite another matter from being a castaway from salvation and eternal life. Paul was saved and he knew it. And some of us know to a certainty that we are saved. But we also know that there is another crown to be won, which the Lord will give to his servants who win in the great fight with sin. To win this crown is our highest ambition. And we long to hear the Master say to each one of us in that day, well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. The Apostle Paul. You know, so many seem so sure in themselves that they'll one day stand there and God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful. And we stamp our own life and mark our own life as such. But I hear the words of the psalmist, and it's a brave prayer to pray. Search me, O God. Try me. You have a clear picture of what I'm all about. Search me, O God, and try me. Show me if there be any waywardness, if there's anything in me that's not right, that's not according to your plan and your purpose, according to your word, your heart, your desire for my life. Show me, God, and then lead me. It's a brave prayer to pray. Will we fight, not as one that beateth the air? Will we keep under our body and bring it into subjection? One thing is certain, we are always in the ring against the devil. You're like, that only happens once in a while. We are always in the ring against the devil, the enemy of souls, the enemy of our souls, the prince of the power of the air. Sometimes he backs off, and then he advances again. And if he can't altogether knock us out, he will do all he can to break us down, to render us fatigued, to strike so to see us lose vision, to strike and to pound to see us lose hearing, to have our hands crater and fall, hands hanging down. Oh, he'd love to see us disapproved. This enemy, this opponent, he doesn't float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. 1 Peter 5, 8-9, be sober, self-controlled. Be vigilant, watchful, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. Strong language, strong words. Philip's New Testament, be self-controlled and vigilant always. For your enemy, the devil, is always about, prowling like a lion, roaring for its prey. Resist him, standing firm in your faith. And remember that the strain is the same for all your fellow Christians in other parts of the world. Help us, Paul. Paul, help us. There is another crown to be won, which the Lord will give to his servants who win in the great fight with sin. To win this crown is our high ambition. And we long to hear our master say, do you not long to hear your master say to you, to each one of us in that day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Every great boxer, every great prize fighter, every great champion undergoes serious training. I share the words of David Wilkerson. Suppose a boxing trainer took his fighter to an isolated training camp and then spent the whole training session psyching up his man for the big fight. He tells him, I will be with you at ringside. I will never leave your side. Here is a list of great boxers of the past, so study their every move. You do not have to suffer through hard workouts. I told you that you're a winner, and my word is all you need. I will give you some diagrams on how to defeat Monster Man when you step into the ring with him. What kind of a trainer is this? Absolutely foolish. What would a good trainer do? He would find the best boxer he could, put his man in the ring with him, and let them have it out. Beloved, how many Christians call themselves warriors without ever being tested or trained? We hear so much about the many prayer warriors in this nation. He uses this example, though others fit, others too. But the sad truth is the vast majority of them have never been in battle. They have not been trained and they are not ready to fight. Recently, I asked the Lord why so many true believers are going through such heavy, hard times. Why such deep suffering? I asked, why are so many being tested to their limits? God knows that Satan is going to be loosed on the earth for his last hour of warfare, and the Lord is going to need well-trained warriors who will prevail over all the powers of hell. Right now, he is doing a quick work in his remnant. It is called crisis training. These suffering, deeply tested saints are becoming the captains of his last day's army. Get ready. God is putting Holy Spirit fight in them, And he is bringing forth warriors who are tested and tried because they have wrestled with God. The more they suffer and the more intense the trial, the greater the work he has for them to do. This kind of training calls for physical discipline as well as spiritual. Jacob threw his whole body into the battle. All his human ability, a fighting spirit had risen up in him. And Scripture says, in his strength, he struggled with God, Hosea 12:3. This verse has great meaning for all who want to prevail. It says Jacob won the battle in his strength. Dearly beloved, if you are going to prevail in these last days, you're going to have to put all your body and strength into it. May the Lord train us. May the Lord equip us that we prevail, in these last days. Let's have the worship team return today. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 to 18. This priceless treasure we hold, so to speak, in common earthenware jar. To show the splendid power of it belongs to God and not to us. We are handicapped on all sides, but we are never frustrated. We are puzzled, but never in despair. We are persecuted, but we never have to stand it alone. We may be knocked down, but we are never knocked out. Every day we experience something of the death of the Lord Jesus so that we may also know the power of the life of Jesus in these bodies of ours. Yes, we who are living are always being exposed to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be plainly seen in our mortal lives. We are always facing death, but this means that you know more and more of life. Our faith is like that mentioned in the Scripture. I believed, and therefore I spoke. For we too speak because we believe, and we know for certain that he who raised the Lord Jesus from death shall also by him raise us. We shall all stand together before him. We wish you could see how all this is working out for your benefit, and how the more grace God gives, the more thanksgiving will redound to his glory. This is the reason why we never collapse. The outward man does indeed suffer wear and tear, but every day the inward man receives fresh strength. These little troubles, which are really so transitory, are winning for us a permanent, glorious, and solid reward out of all proportion to our pain. For we are looking all the time not at the visible things, but at the invisible. The visible things are transitory. It is the invisible things that are really permanent. Transitory life. Eyes on eternal life. Are you in the ring? In the ring with an opponent? And the fight's about to begin? And your enemy is taunting you? Or the fight has begun? And your opponent keeps reminding you that you can't win? The words of Joe Frazier. Allie even told me in the ring, "You can't beat me. I'm your Lord." I just told him, "Lord, you're in the wrong place tonight." There is too the fight of life. And we have to fight and not ever blame others if we aren't where we want to be or what we want to be. I remember these words, and though secular, I present them. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It is a very mean and nasty place, and it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hit and not point fingers, not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you are because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. Romans 8:37, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Have you lost the fighting spirit? Have you called for the towel to be thrown? However this applies to your life, to your world, your situation, your circumstance, your people. Romans 8:11, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit. That is because of his spirit who dwells in you. I just want to encourage you today, and I exhort you today to get up, to stand up, to get your hands up. It's time to fight. It's time to really fight. Don't waste punches. Go for the knockout. Fight, not as one that beateth the air. Leave no stone unturned that you might gain the prize. Put out all your strength in the name of the Lord. You know, some opponents, they taunt for a rematch. Been there? You're like, I already dealt with this. I already dealt with you. I already knocked you out. But time goes on, time goes by, and that opponent's been working out too, you know, and training. That opponent knows you. That opponent's been studying all your fights, watching the reel. The opponent calls for a rematch. The opponent is taunting you. Yes, every giant has a giant mouth. And many a mouse owns a megaphone. Sometimes these enemies come back. They taunt. They want a rematch. That's why we can't. After we've knocked out, we look and we're like, we've dealt with that opponent. We got a good record. I got a good record. I'm the champion of the world. Can you imagine if that champion let off and no longer trained? No longer worked hard? No longer put in the effort? What kind of condition would they be in and soon be in? You talk to a real fighter, you talk to a real boxer. I've known a few in my life. They're always training. Like one fight's over, they might have to recover a little bit, but their mind's on the next fight. They know there's going to be another fight. They're training and they're training hard. And they're training harder than ever because often the next opponent is tougher. Might just be that way in the Christian reality. Some don't live in the Christian reality. They live below the Christian reality. They live in Christianity, Christian unreality. The Apostle Paul was telling the church, he's saying, this is what you need. This is the fight we're in. This is the reality of Christian life. It's not just all sunshine and roses. God wants to make a champion out of all of us. Lord, we will fight. Enable us to know the prize. You know, I recently heard these words, you can't win a fight till you know you're in a fight. I mean, you'll know you're in a fight if someone hits you upside the head. But I wonder how many, they don't even know they're in a fight. But perhaps a brother or sister, a Christian brother or sister comes up. Or you know, it might be the Holy Ghost that illuminates or speaks to them, the Spirit of the living God. The Word of God, as they get into it and dig into it, and it's like, I am in a fight. I didn't even know it. I didn't even realize it. I'm in a fight. And so now, what are you going to do? Awaken us, Lord, if we know not the fight and the opponents. Let's stand in the house of the Lord today. God, we give you glory. Lord, we thank you for the words of your holy book. And if you're here in the house of the Lord today and you know you're facing a real opponent, ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to train you to properly hit the mark, to see that opponent, that challenger, that challenge fall. Fall in your life, that there be freedom and victory. That you stand as one, as a champion over that thing because of the power of God. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, hey, you may not even know you're in a fight, but you're in a fight. And there's a fight for your soul going on. You came into this house today. Perhaps you didn't even know it. The Lord is fighting. And the Lord has fought for your soul. And the devil will continue to try and hang on to you and fight against the light to keep you bound, to keep you lost, to keep you unaware that there's something beyond your realm of living in life. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting and eternal life. You came into the house of the Lord today. You say, I'm not lost. Well, we believe in the truth of the Word of God. And I know we don't always like to hear it, but at the end of the road, at the end of this life, there's only two destinations, heaven and hell. And you say, well, I'm not so sure that you're right. Guess what? That right there is the greatest form of gambling. You say, I'm going to gamble with my soul. See, if I live a good and holy life, a righteous life, and endeavor to follow Jesus, if I'm wrong in the end, I've lived a good life. I've lost nothing. But if you're wrong in the end, you lose everything. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. The Bible is clear that sin separated us from God. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What really took place, sin and fallenness, has created a chasm that nobody can cross. Absolutely impossible. The only hope of getting back to God, reconciliation with God, is one that would lay down his life. Literally, Jesus Christ became the bridge to life. He laid down his life that we could cross the chasm. If you're here today and you do not know him, he loves you. He died for you. He's extending his hand of relationship to you. He wants to become your Lord, your Savior. He wants to become your best and closest friend. This is how we know love, that he laid down his life for us. So just in these moments, if that's you, open up your heart to him. Open up your life to him. Ask him to come and be Lord and Savior of your life. Repent of sin and wrongdoing and welcome him in. Of course, if you need prayer this morning as we just close out and sing this chorus, please make your way to the front. We'd love to pray with you with regards to how the Spirit's been speaking through the message, or even if there's another need in the house. Let's just lift them up in closing today and just bless our Lord and our Savior. What an honor to serve you, God. What an honor to serve you, Jesus, to be known as yours. Thank you, Lord. When we sing Savior.